Are you ready for the final destination? Stephen was ready for the final destination. Why? Because he believed in Jesus. That's why he prayed, Jesus, receive my spirit. It belongs to you, and I want it to return to you. A woman by the name of Pa Yang lives in northern Laos with her husband, Lavi, and they gave their lives to Jesus just a few years ago, much to the anger of their village and their family. Over the years, they faced quite a bit of persecution and ridicule and anger from the village and their family, so much so that the family tried to take their property, and they refused to let it happen. So one day, while the mom and dad were at work and the three kids were at home, the extended family decided that they were going to poison their water. So they heard about it, and the parents ran home from the fields to the house to find their three children lying on the floor. They swooped them up, and they ran them to what is their version of a hospital, and then to another hospital, and after much treatment, the oldest son died, and the last two children survived. Pa Yang says this, she said, my relatives perhaps thought that no one would help us in this situation, and we would backslide from our faith, but they were wrong. I'm sad to lose my son, but I believe and I know that my son is sitting with Jesus in heaven. Even if there is more persecution, we will continue believing in Jesus. We will walk faithfully with the Lord, even if we are the only ones doing it. What do you stand for? If someone was to look at your life, what would they say you stand for? And in addition to that, would you be willing to die for Jesus? If it came to it, would you be willing to lay down your life? Would you be willing to suffer much for Jesus? What do you stand for? Today we're continuing our series, The After Party. We've been talking about everything that's happened after the resurrection of Jesus, going through the book of Acts. And we've seen over the past several weeks that the church has been exploding. God's power is being seen and revealed through life change, through miracles, through all kinds of amazing things. But the enemy, as he always does, tries to attack. He tried to worm his way into the church through gossip and slander. He tried to get opposition against the apostles and the Christians through the religious leaders. And they flogged a couple of the apostles, and they beat them and put them in prison. And there was all kinds of stuff. But yet God still continued to blow the lid off that thing, so much so that they needed to install deacons and people that would help with the ministry, the day-to-day practical needs of the ministry where people were serving. And God was doing amazing things. But now, as God's trying to bring it to the next level and do an amazing thing in the church, the enemy brings his attacks to the next level, and people are going to die. They're going to die. And as we come to this part of Acts, we look at the life of Stephen, the first biblically recorded martyr of Christianity who gave his life for Jesus. And as we learn from this story, as we read it this morning, we won't read all the verses, but we'll pull out some great things God wants to teach us today, and we'll learn this, how to stand till the end. How do you stand till the end? From this point right now, until the day God calls you home, as we sang this morning, to heaven's sweet embrace, how do you stand until the end? I think that's a great question. And so let's look at the story here today as we look at the life of Stephen and what impact it had and how it teaches us more things about standing in our faith. It says, now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power. Remember, Stephen was one of the deacons that they prayed for and set apart for the ministry. It says, perform great wonders and signs among the people. Opposition arose, as it always does. How many know that? Opposition arose, as it always does. However, from the members of the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, Jews of Cyrene and Alexandria, as well as the provinces of Cilicia and Asia, who began to argue with Stephen, but they could not stand up against the wisdom the Spirit gave him as he spoke. They could not stand against the wisdom he had from the Holy Spirit. How do you stand till the end? Write this down. You need to ask God for his wisdom. You need to ask God for his wisdom. How many here have ever done something unwise? How many are still regretting that? How many did it this morning? Yep. We oftentimes do unwise things in our life, don't we? Because we base it off crazy criteria. We base it off, oftentimes on our feelings, and our feelings get us oftentimes into an unwise situation because, I felt like it was right. I'm not saying don't trust your feelings. Sometimes your feelings are right on, but how many know that your feelings can get you in a hole faster than you can dig it? We need God's wisdom. And Stephen is talking to the leaders, and God has given him a supernatural ability to have wisdom, so they couldn't stand against him. We need God's wisdom. Jesus talked about it this way when he said, he goes, look, when he talked to the disciples, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. He says, therefore, be as crafty and cunning as a snake, be as gentle as a dove. Now, I know some of you are afraid of snakes, and you don't, when you see it, you don't think, oh, what a crafty, wise creature. But he's given us an example. He's saying, listen, be smart, but you need to be God smart. Stephen wasn't standing against them just because of his book smarts. He knew the word of God, no doubt. But God was giving him a supernatural ability to talk and to refute what they were saying and be a witness to those people. Jesus said, in the end times, which we are now living, as we wait till the last day, we're living in the last days until the last day of the Lord, the Bible teaches us that we're going to be persecuted. Now, we don't understand that in America as much, but you know that over 300 million Christians around the world cannot worship God freely for fear of their life, persecution, ridicule, or their property would be taken, or their families would be separated. We got it good. I would consider us in the echelon of productive, Christians, we got it on the top tier. It's sad, really, because oftentimes that makes our faith complacent. But Jesus said, in the last days, people will not like you. In fact, they'll hate you. In fact, it'll cause division among the families. Like family members will hate each other and try to poison each other's water. Jesus talked about this. And actually give you up to be killed. And they'll drag you in front of other people to give an account for your faith. What should you do then? Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 21, he says, this will be your opportunity. You might not think of it as an opportunity. He says, this is your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it therefore in your minds, not to meditate beforehand how to answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom. Ever say wisdom? I will give you wisdom which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. Amen. That's exactly what happened to Stephen. He gave wisdom that no one could contradict. And you know what? When you do that, that makes them real mad. That made them really mad because they couldn't combat it at all. Because God's wisdom is always better than man's wisdom. It's not sometimes better. It's not better on every other Tuesday or on a leap year. It is always better. Every single time. And so I need to pray, God, give me wisdom. I need to pray and ask God for wisdom. In fact, the Bible tells that in James 5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, who's that today? Anybody else? And if you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. You need to ask God. That's the wise thing to do. God, I need some help because we both know I'm not too bright. And I need your kind of wisdom. God, I need wisdom in my marriage, and I need wisdom in my job. I need wisdom in my next step. I need wisdom what to do. God, I need some supernatural Stephen-type wisdom to help in this situation. I need your wisdom. Do you know where it starts? You know where wisdom starts? The Bible tells us in Proverbs, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So if you want wisdom in your life, it starts by fearing God. You know what it means to fear God? It's not that you're just hiding in a corner, sucking your thumb, you know, afraid. But the fear of God is to honor and revere him and to worship him and to walk in such a way that says, I would rather be under his grace than under his wrath. I would rather be under his mercy than under his punishment. And so to do that, I actually need to put my faith in Jesus and follow his ways. I need to love what God loves and hate what God hates. I'm walking in the fear of the Lord. It's a whole different lifestyle. I need that kind of wisdom. So I walk in it. Stephen walked in the fear of the Lord and in the wisdom of God. God gave him the ability to stand until the end. The result is they responded, the people persecuting him responded to his wisdom. They couldn't answer him, and they were frustrated. Where do you get your wisdom? Google? Some of you are like, no. That's for dumb people. I use ChatGPT. That's where we smart people get wisdom. I'm next level wisdom here. AI. You know, somebody told me recently they did a study on people who use, you know, AI, ChatGPT, that kind of stuff too much. It actually makes you more dumber. I think that was the actual name of the study, more dumber. Because you're not thinking for yourself. You're letting a computer do it. We need God's kind of wisdom. Why? Because we spend too much of our sinful time thinking for our sinful selves. And when you say, oh God, I need help. I need direction. I need your wisdom to stand to the end. Well, they didn't like this. So just like they did with Jesus, the leaders brought in people to falsely accuse Stephen and throw mud on his life. And basically say that he said things that he didn't say is exactly what they did with Jesus. So they brought him before the Sanhedrin. If you remember what the Sanhedrin is, it is their Supreme Court. Like 70 guys that like rule the Jewish nation, this is their Supreme Court. If you're brought to the Sanhedrin, they're the final say. And so here he is now in front of the Sanhedrin, and something supernatural happens as Stephen is operating in the wisdom of God. Watch this in verse 15. At this point, everyone in the high council stared at Stephen because his face became as bright as an angel's. Isn't that amazing? Now, I don't know how the writer here knows what an angel looks like, but somehow, supernaturally, they recognized that his face started to be shown the glory of God. And it reminds me of Moses coming down from Mount Sinai when he was with God, and he was glowing with the glory of God, and he had to put a veil over his face. It reminds me of Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration when he shone the glory of God through his life. And that's exactly what's happening with Stephen right here. He's basically shining through the glory of God in a supernatural way. And it teaches us something valuable and important for our life. How do you stand until the end? Well, you need to let your light shine. You need to let your light shine. Everyone say light. Who here has ever been camping or summer camp or, you know, out in the dark? Don't you love the person who didn't watch the YouTube video on how to use a flashlight? And they shine it right in your face? And you're like, dude, get that out of my, I can't see. And they're shining it right. And you're like, which way are we going? And they're shining it right in your eyes. Then you can't see. You know, you can use your light for two things. You can use it to blind somebody so they trip and fall and it like wrecks their life and you just screw them all up. Or you can use it to light the way. You need to light the way. You need to let your light shine. That's exactly what Stephen's doing, except he's doing it in a way more supernatural way. It's actually coming out of his physical person. I think that does teach us that our actions and our life are to be seen by other people so that our light would shine to them, don't you? In fact, Jesus talked about it this way in Matthew chapter 5. He said, "You are the light of the world." Everyone say, "That's me." That is you. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden, correct? In the same way, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. Everyone know that's common sense, right? When you have a lamp at home, where do you put it? You put it on the stand. Or you put it in a fan in the middle of the room and you've got a switch to operate it so you can light up the whole room. That's common sense. It's just like your life. He said, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. They see it coming out of your life. Let your light shine. What's your light look like? People look at your life, do they see the light of Jesus coming out of you? Are you a city on a hill? Or do you have your light under a bowl so nobody can see it? You gotta let your light shine. Do you know why we need light? It's not a trick question. First two services struggled with the answer. You need light because there's darkness. Because there's darkness. That's why you need light in the house. That's why we need light here. That's why you need lights on the front of your car, because there's darkness. You need the light of Jesus shining out of your life because there's darkness. And the darkness wants to consume you. And you need to be a city on a hill so that it shines into the life of other people who are living in darkness and they can find their way out because Jesus is shining through you. Amen. Yes. You need to let your light shine. Can people see your light? Can they see Jesus shining through you? Are you too busy with work? You too busy with your activities? You too busy with your excuses? Too busy at the gym? Too busy eating cookies, that's me. You're gonna let your light shine. We're called to help people see their way out of it. The Bible says this in 1 John, it says, "So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness." Do you know what it means to go on living in spiritual darkness? This happens all the time. It's when we say, "Yeah, I believe in God, but I live no life according to God's word. I continue to live a worldly life, claiming God and all the benefits, but none of the obedience." It says, you live in a spiritual darkness, but if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. We're living in the light as God is in the light. Are you living in the light? Stephen was literally living in the light. The wisdom of God and the Spirit of God was shining through him. He was walking in the light. They finally asked Stephen to answer his accusers. Are all these things these people saying about you are true? And Stephen goes on one of the greatest discourses in Scripture, and he basically gives a whole Old Testament survey Bible college class. And he goes all the way back to Abraham and talks about the patriarchs and talks about the people of Israel. And then as he's talking, he's getting more riled up, right? And God's Spirit's really working on him. And then he says, "And you guys, you Sanhedrin, are guilty of the death of all of the prophets and of Jesus." And that made him so happy. The joy was overflowing. And this is what happened next in verse 54. It says, when the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. Stop right there. Can we go back to that one? Gnashed their teeth at him. Isn't that a funny thing to say? I mean, have you ever gotten so mad you're just like, nah, nah, nah. Nah. Right? I mean, try that next time you're in a fight with your wife. Nah, nah. Nah. That'll teach her. Nah. It's a funny thing, but you know, the Bible says, Jesus said, he goes, those who don't obey him and follow him and put their faith in him, right, will be cast into outer darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a sign of wickedness. He goes on, but Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. You have to let your light shine just like Stephen did. And as Stephen was letting his light shine, look at what's interesting. Stephen stood for Jesus, and Jesus stood for Stephen. It's important to note that because the Bible says when Jesus ascended into heaven, God said to him, sit down at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool, which is the number one quoted Old Testament verse in the New Testament. Sit here until I make your enemies your footstool. And here Stephen sees Jesus as he's standing for him, and Jesus is ready, and he stands for Stephen. Stands to receive Stephen home. Stands to support him. Stands to recognize his light shining in the world. Jesus talked about it this way in Matthew chapter 10. He said, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Stephen stood for Jesus, so Jesus stood for Stephen, and he was declaring, that man belongs to me. Who do you stand for? Where does your light shine? Some of you are so tangled up in the world stuff that basically your life looks no different than the rest of the world. No one can tell who you're standing for. It needs to be clear. Stephen's life was clear. He stood for Jesus. He let his light shine. When you stand for him, he stands for you. They were so upset about Stephen standing for Jesus, they decided to stone him. This is what happened next, verse 57. It says, as they covered their ears and yelling at him at the top of their voices. Now just stop for a second. Let's put it all together. They're gnashing their teeth, they're covering their ears, and they're yelling. It sounds like a tantrum, right? I mean, they're like, right? Yelling at him. This is like the little kid at Walmart that didn't get the Legos. They're furious. And then they step to the next level and they all rushed him, dragged him out of the city and began to stone him because that's how you deal with conflict. Where is that rock? I'm going to deal with this guy right now. That's why we don't keep stones in the church. So none of you can throw them at me. Bring a guest to church. Why are so many holes in the back of the stage? Well, pastor's really good at dodging the stone. Stop talking about me. And they began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at Saul at the feet of a young man named Saul. This Saul is important because in just a little bit in the book of Acts, this Saul will turn to Paul, and he'll be this guy who persecutes and murders for, you know, the church. He'll become one of the greatest missionaries and evangelists in the history of the world. So while they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. How do you stand until the end? You need to know where you're headed. You need to know where you're headed. I hate going to the dentist. I hate going to the doctor. I don't hate my doctor. I just loathe him entirely. I don't like anything about it. Makes me nervous. I mean, he's a nice guy, great. We probably would be friends in real life. But I hate it. He's a doctor, so he's excommunicado. Now, if you told me we were going to Dairy Queen, the party's just getting started. Now I'm pumped. Now, if you don't like Dairy Queen, you probably need to take Fusion Family Member Class 101 again. Because it's clear stated in our statements of faith, you must love Dairy Queen, especially blizzards. I'm just throwing it out there for some of you that want to go to the next level. You got to know where you're headed. The point I'm making is this. Did you know the destination matters? Right? The destination matters. Stephen knows his destination. That's why he sees God and he prays, Jesus, receive my spirit. He knows where he's headed. The destination makes all the difference in the world, especially for the Christian. Because when I face these momentary trials and troubles of life, they don't dissuade my faith and ruin my faith. Why? Because I know the destination to which I'm headed. In the presence of God. In fact, Jesus said this about our destination. He said, my Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? That's for you. He says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Know where you're going. Do you know where you're going? Now, not all of us like Stephen are going to know the last few moments of our life. He knows he's about to die. They've got rocks and they're throwing them at him. We don't all have these last few moments, okay, I'm going to get right with God. A lot of people think that. Well, I'll just wait till the end and I'll get right with God. Well, what if you're like those people who were in Texas last week? You were there 1 minute and next moment you're gone. I told many of you just a few weeks ago about my wife's aunt who fell and broke her leg, and she had to be taken to the hospital, and they were going to perform surgery, and during the surgery, she developed a blood clot, and then she was gone because she broke her leg, and she was 55. I'm not saying this to scare you, but I'm just letting you know, and I'm reminding all of us that tomorrow is not promised. Are you ready for the final destination? Stephen was ready for the final destination. Why? Because he believed in Jesus. That's why he prayed, Jesus, receive my spirit. It belongs to you, and I want it to return to you. Got to be ready for the final destination. All of us should live with an expectation of where we're headed. It really helps when you're dealing with the valleys of life, because I know that these are just momentary. Eternity is forever. Well, as they were stoning him, it says, then he fell to his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And we said this, he fell asleep. Just for clarification, that means he died. He fell asleep, he died. He's not taking a nap. When he said this, he fell asleep. How do you stand until the end? Some of you, this is exactly what you need to hear, what I'm about to say. And it's going to sting a little bit, but it's a good kind of sting. Because if you're going to stand to the end, you need to take no grudges to the grave. You take no grudges to the grave. I've heard many people in my life tell me, well, I will never forgive them. I will never forgive them. That is 0% godly. That is 0% how we're to live our life till the end. Here Stephen is being stoned. They're literally throwing rocks at his face. And he prays like Jesus did on the cross to the people who crucified him. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Here, Stephen does the same thing. And he says, hey, listen, God, don't hold this against them. While they're throwing rocks at his face. I'm an action movie guy. And if you've ever watched an action movie, at some point in the action movie, you can almost bet on it, one of the guys is going to say to the other person, I hope you burn in hell. But not Stephen. Stephen cared more about their eternity than his grudge. Maybe it's time for you to give the grudge to God. To not hang on to the unforgiveness, to not hang on to the attitude, the self-righteousness. Maybe people have done terrible things to you. I'm not discounting that. But if you keep holding on to the grudge, it'll be a spiritual cancer in your soul. If you're going to stand to the end, don't take any grudges to the grave. Only forgiveness. Because he who has been forgiven much, forgives much.